Welcome back to Mound Money. In studio with us now is Ian Pope. He is with Campos Coffee, which is by the ice skating ring at Park City Mountain. And listeners will know him from the company's underwriting over the last year with his opening, Good Day, Mate.
That was terrible.
Ian, good day, mate.
It's actually G'day.
G'day.
But yeah, we'll get there.
Excellent. So Campos Coffee is a big brand in Australia.
Yeah.
Right. This is your first location here in the U.S. Why start with Park City?
We love Park City. I mean, it's what's not to love about it. We think it has a great community spirit, great community vibe, something that kind of really mirrors what we're all about in Australia. Just looking outside these windows, man, why wouldn't you want to be here?
And when you say it mirrors what you're about in Australia, what does the Campos brand mean? What are those? If I were to go in Australia, like I think here locally, there's big coffee shops that people kind of have some ideas, some good, some bad, about what the brand stands for. What does Campos Coffee stand for?
We're a values-based company, values and quality. We think the two can work hand in hand. The values, every part of the coffee supply chain, all the way from the farmer to the end consumer or wholesale customer or cafe owner, deserves to benefit from the coffee industry. Quality, you can't have values without quality. I really don't believe that the two are separated. Quality of the coffee, quality of the service, quality of everything to do with the coffee supply chain. It's such an intricate industry that if you neglect one single moment in that supply chain, you won't have an end quality.
You talk about the supply chain. Where does your coffee come from, and what is the relationship between Campos and its various suppliers?
Yeah, so we've been purchasing from the same suppliers and new suppliers, but we've got relationships with farmers all across the world. The coffee belt is anywhere from the big ones in Ethiopia, Kenya, and then all the way through Central America. Through there, we purchase a lot of coffee from Papua New Guinea. A farm that we've had a relationship with for over 10 years now. We like to see where our money is going, not just getting fantastic coffee, but we like to visit every farm that we purchase from to really make sure that, it's not just the bigwig getting rich, they're building facilities for their pickers and their growers. They're putting back through, harvesting techniques and spending money to get end quality. It's a really, great circle to watch.
So that's the farmers. And I think there's been a huge improvement in the last decade in that relationship between the buyers and the farmers and what's it called? Fair trade pricing.
Fair trade and transparency and direct trade. I mean, transparency is absolutely everything. Knowing exactly where that coffee came from, exactly how much the farmer's getting paid for it. That's really, really important. Fair trade really kind of set the foundation for that model. And now we're seeing absolute direct trade where you can go to a farm and purchase direct from that farmer and know that that farmer is getting every dollar that you're spending.
Yeah, and I think we as consumers all feel better knowing that situation is being addressed in a way that maybe a decade ago it was not. So that's about the farmer. Another key component for a coffee chain is the roasters.
Yes.
I have a friend that he's a professional roaster in Southern California.
Great.
It is his life. I mean, when we go out to dinner, it is what we talk about is roasting coffee. And he would talk about it as if it's a fine wine. Explain to our audience why roasting is such a key component and what the role of roasting is to a good cup of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, I would hazard a bet that your mate is an introvert. Most roasters are introverts. To be stuck behind a machine, watching a curve on a laptop, smelling and tasting and sampling the beans as they come out of the roaster. It really is a fine trade, and not many people can do it. It's all about consistency. and making sure that from roast to roast, you're getting a consistent product. The end user, the cafe owner, the consumer does not want to see the same bean different at different in different weeks. They really want to see the same kind of roast profile, the same taste, the same flavor profile. So it's really all about consistency. You know, it takes a lot to from a farmer's perspective to harvest that coffee, and it can all be screwed up by everyone in the supply chain. It can be screwed up by the roaster, it can be screwed up by the barista, it can be screwed up by, you know, so many things. So really making sure that it's consistent and taking out those things that can change the end cup.
So in order to make the best cup of coffee at the end user, where along the line do you do your roasting? Do you do it here or do you do it here locally
yeah,
in Park
absolutely.
City?
Yeah, absolutely. We're 100% local. We happen to be supported by an Australian company, but we like to think ourselves as a local company. We have a roastery down in on Edison Street, which we just opened, down on Edison Street in Salt Lake City downtown. It's a beautiful roastery with a cafe. We have an American-made roaster. It's called a Loring, beautiful stainless steel roaster, which is really helping us, you know, have that consistent and high quality end product. So yeah, we roast here, we supply here, we supply customers, retail and wholesale, all out of Salt Lake City.
And how many different kinds of coffee? What kind of alternatives would I face if I walked into your shop on a snowy morning right before I was going to hit the slopes?
We have the whole array of coffee. We like to stay pretty traditional. Mm-hmm. So we have the a standard drip. We also have espresso-based coffee. Coming from Australia, we have a huge espresso culture over there. So you can get anything from a flat white to a latte to a mocha to anything. We also have a beautiful machine that produces brilliant single origin drip coffee. So if you want something a little bit finer, something a little bit more tailor-made for you, then I would go with that.
And what about breakfast? Is there anything? Do you have any foods available in the morning?
Absolutely. We've got now the full kitchen down in Salt Lake City, so we're using that as a commissary kitchen, and we're bringing that all up to Park City. We also cook on the spot, and it's absolutely beautiful. Avocado toast.
There we go.
Everyone's falling in love with it.
Avocado toast on a powder.
So that's a trend, absolutely. Yeah. Avocado toast, you're hearing a lot about that. What are some other trends? For instance, 2 years ago this December, I decided to go 100% decaf.
Yes.
What are some trends you're seeing? Are you seeing more people going decaf, less people, and maybe not decaf, but other things? What are some trends?
There's definitely a trend towards decaf. A big trend towards alternative milks. Like soy and almond is a big one.
How about oat milk? You guys serve oat milk?
That's
one that I'm hearing a lot of lately.
Absolutely. It's a big one where we're trying to find the right one. It goes through a testing process. So we'll have that pretty soon. But decaf, we get our coffee decaffeinated by the Swiss water plant in Vancouver. On a great day, you will not be able to tell the difference.
Should we be worried? I've been told, that to get a bean decaffeinated, there's some nasty chemicals used. Should we be worried, or is that something that's probably not something we have to worry about?
No, you should worry about it. Decaffeinated coffee, there's several techniques using chemicals. The best one is that doesn't use chemicals is Swiss water. Basically just flushes the decaf right out of the coffee. Tastes great, chemical-free, and that will really be your best choice.
And do you guys, like if I bought a bag of decaf coffee, does it say how it's been decaffeinated?
Absolutely.
Where I would know?
Yep, it will always have the Swiss water logo as well as it'll say the processing technique.
Okay. Great. And one last question. I mentioned in the open that users, listeners will recognize your voice because you guys have been kind enough to be underwriters over the last year. How did you decide to support KPCW and use KPCW as a way to get your message out?
I mean, we tried several different ways of marketing when we first came to Park City, and the KPCW advert was the absolute most recognized one. So we absolutely love KPCW. Local radio means a lot to us.
Well, Ian, it means a lot to us that you support the station. We thank you for coming in. Our guest has been Ian Pope over at Campos Coffee, which is above the ice skating ring at Park City Mountain. Ian, how about one last good day, mate, before we let you go?
Well, it's actually, if you're saying goodbye, you say hooroo.
What do we say goodbye?
Hooroo.
Hooroo.
Yep. Hooroo. All right. Hooroo. Beautiful. Ian Pope, thank you for joining us this morning.
And hooroo.